my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Sing, shower and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares, nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Look at what God can do. Look at what God does. Look at what God will do. That pretty much sums up this psalm. God is at work, and God is doing great deeds in our world and in our lives. God is powerful, God is gracious, God is merciful, God provides food, God keeps his promises, God is just, God is trustworthy, God redeems, God is holy and awesome. God is to be feared. Now that last one might not sound immediately like it fits. It may not seem like it belongs with all those other good and hopeful words. The problem when we talk about fearing God in the Bible is that we rarely, if ever, use the word fear to mean what it means in the Bible when talking about any other thing. We all use fear to talk about scary things. For us, fear is most always a negative thing. We don't want to be afraid. The emotions and the feelings that we associate with being afraid are not pleasant ones. And so that's probably where our minds go when we hear the word fear. And yet, every once in a while, some preacher gets up and starts talking about how we should fear God, and that when we fear God, it has nothing to do with all those things we normally think of when we think of fear. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. When this psalm talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, it isn't telling us that we become wise when we're afraid of God. And of course, then it becomes difficult for the preacher standing up here because we don't really have a good word for what fearing the Lord really means. Part of it's an idea that we honor God or that we are in awe of God. It's an idea about respect and submitting to God's will. When we fear God, we seek to follow God and respect God. But I think the core of the idea of fearing God comes down to this. To fear God means that we accept that God is God and that we are not God. Now you might be thinking, well, of course, I know I am not God. And that's true. I doubt any of you go around proclaiming yourself to be God. But for all of us, we all do things that put ourselves first. For example, we'd like to think that we have and we know all the answers. We think that whatever our views are about faith issues or world issues or political issues or personal issues, that we're right and that people that don't agree with us are wrong. Well, that's not very God is God and we are not, is it? And it's also not very wise. And also, you know, we think we know how to treat people. We think we know what other people need, or even worse, what other people need to do. How if they just lived their lives more like we live our lives, then they would have less problems in their lives, because we've got things figured out. But that's not very God is God, and we are not, is it? And it's also not very wise. And of course, we think our wants and our desires are the most important. We think more often of ourselves than we think of others. And while that's not very God is God and we are not, is it? And it's also not a very wise way to live. We're proud, or we're arrogant, or sometimes we are boastful. And none of those things are very God is God and we are not. And none of them are very wise. So when we start to be serious about fearing the Lord, we have to change the way that we live our lives. When we start to truly accept that God is God and that we are not, the decisions we make, the way we treat others, our entire outlook on the world changes. And all of that leads us to wisdom. Wisdom about who God is, wisdom about who we are, wisdom about how we should live our lives and live our relationships. We will have a good understanding, as the scripture tells us, of all the great works and deeds of God that we're told about, and then we get to the fear of the Lord stuff. If we want to be able to experience the greatness of God, we seek to grow in wisdom. If we want to be able to experience the grace and the mercy and the justice of God, we seek to grow in wisdom. If we want to experience the redemption of God, we seek to grow in wisdom. We seek to accept that God is God and that we are not. Because here's the thing we can't forget. This God that we are called to fear, this God that we're called to give our lives to, is a powerful and active God. This is a God who's actually at work in our lives and in our world, in big ways and in awesome ways. This is a God who can do amazing things. Recently, a few weeks ago, on the NBC Nightly News, they ran a story around the one-year anniversary of the riots that happened last summer in Charlottesville, Virginia. This particular story went rather viral. It came up on my Facebook page. It was a story about a man named Ken Parker. Ken Parker had been there in Charlottesville with other white supremacists last summer. He was a Grand Dragon in the Ku Klux Klan, but he had recently left the Klan to become a neo-Nazi because he believed that the Ku Klux Klan was not a hateful enough group, and he was looking for something with more hate. As he and his fiancée left the rally that day, they met a documentary filmmaker in the parking garage who asked to interview them. They agreed because they wanted to get their views and hate out there. And in the course of the interview, they started to become taken aback by the kindness of this Indian woman who was the documentary filmmaker interviewing them. The kindness of this woman in the midst of his hate started to make him think, started to make him question some of his beliefs. A few months later, Ken Parker met a new neighbor, an African-American pastor. The pastor invited Ken and his fiancée to church. They went for the first time on Easter Sunday this past year. A few weeks later, Ken Parker shared with this all African-American congregation about his history with the Ku Klux Klan. He was sure, after he shared this, that they would immediately reject him and ask him to leave. Instead, the church responded with love and forgiveness and acceptance. Ken and his fiancée were recently baptized, and he has completely left the white supremacy movement. That's a story about the amazing power of God. That's a story about the vast love and grace and the redemptive power of Christ. And it's also a story about how the fear of the Lord leads us to wisdom. This is a story about how God is God and we are not. Ken Parker had to accept that he was not God, that his racist beliefs, that his way of life was not the way of life that God had intended for him. And the congregation, the church that he joined, along with the pastor of that church, had to accept that they weren't God either, that they weren't there to judge, that they weren't there to determine who to love or accept, that they weren't the ones who were going to put limits on who God could redeem. And in believing and in trusting that God is God and that they were not, both Ken Parker and that church got a little wiser about life and about the ways of God. That's what we're called to do as well, to fear the Lord, to accept that God is God and that we are not, to seek the wisdom of God. And how do we do that? We do that by admitting that we are not always right, that we don't have all the answers, but that God has all the answers. We do that by accepting that our ways are not always the best ways, but God's ways are. We do that by living lives of humility and unselfishness and openness to learning and growing. When we live our lives that way, we start to grow in wisdom and understanding. And when we fear the Lord, when we admit that God is God and that we are not, we start paying more attention to the work of God. We start to take notice of all the wonderful things that God does. We start to be more in tune with God's love and mercy and grace and peace. We open ourselves to moments of God at work, moments for us to grow in wisdom. We remember who God is, and we remember what God has done. We remember the great and powerful deeds of God, and we remember how God sent his Son Jesus Christ to come and to live among us. And that on the last night that he had with his disciples before he was arrested and tried and sent to die, he gathered with his disciples around the table and he took bread and he gave thanks to God for the bread. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you so that you might receive forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, as we seek to grow in wisdom, to follow after you, Lord, we ask that you might guide us, direct us. Lord, now we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. We ask that you make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice what's called an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that, and I'll invite you to come forward whenever you're ready.
Unshakable, immovable, faithful and true, full of wisdom, strength and beauty, these things are true of you. Fearless, courageous, righteousness shines through in all you do. Yet you're so humble, you lay down your life. These things are true of you. And as I turn my face to you, O Lord, I ask and pray. By the power of your love and grace, make these things true of me too. Make these things true of me. Compassionate, love flows through you. You never give up on the hopeless ones. These things are true of you. Holy and blameless, you stand up for justice and truth, yet you love mercy and forgiveness. These things are true of you. And as I turn my face to you, O Lord, I ask and pray. By the power of your love and grace, make these things true. love me too. Built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Verse 4.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
The deeds of God are great and awesome, and the fear of the Lord beginning of wisdom. Go now to witness and experience God's great deeds. Go now to fear the Lord and grow in wisdom. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.